Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
Welcome to Positive News Now. I'm your host, Gail Nowak. Today, we're speaking with Liz Detterer, founder and CEO of Selling with Service and creator of the Sales School for Entrepreneurs. Liz has strategized the growth of a sales team from $300,000 to $1.2 million in the span of 6 short months. She's taught individual clients to increase their close rates from 0% to 80%. And coached entrepreneurs to their first five-figure months. She's been featured on the International Women in Money Summit and numerous podcasts. She's delivered seminars and workshops to networking groups and organizations, including SCORE, eWomen Network, and many others. She's currently on her second speaking tour for The Currency of Conversation, through which she empowers entrepreneurs and sales teams to close clients quickly, all while selling with service. Welcome, Liz. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Hi, Gail. I'm excited too. This is going to be great.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. So why don't you start with telling us more details about Selling with Service and who you help?
Yeah, so Selling with Service is a sales training company for entrepreneurs, service-based business owners. And as I explained to my seven-year-old daughter, we help mommies make a lot of money.
I love that. Yeah.
It's the easiest way, and daddies and non-parents too, adults. But yeah, that's the easiest way is that, you know, people who have decided to, you know, be crazy like us and have their own business in some sort of a service-based capacity. They really want to have a boutique business where they're the ones that are working with their clients directly. Maybe they have some other people on staff to, you know, do some administrative things or co-coaches, et cetera. But generally speaking, it's, you know, the coach, consultant, doctor, lawyer, health practitioner, et cetera, photographer who's working with their clients directly. So we teach them how to have really strong, empowering initial conversations so that everyone is on the same page. They're working with the highest and best clients, and the client's expectations are totally met and managed.
Awesome. Excellent. So one of the things that you mentioned there is having those conversations. And I know sometimes, especially women, but I would imagine that this happens for men too, but like having those sales conversations kind of gives people the heebie-jeebies. And so can you talk about that a little bit? Is that one of the big problems that you help your clients solve is to have those, feel good about those conversations, be confident in those conversations?
Yeah, for sure. So that's the whole premise of Selling with Service. Our hashtag is stop being weird. You said it a lot nicer. You're like, you know, the kind of awkward, the heebie-jeebies. And I'm like, no, just stop being weird.
I love that.
Stop being weird in sales conversations, people. But that's what it comes down to. And you're absolutely right. And I throw up a little in my mouth a little bit every time that I say it too, but it's women especially. Mm-hmm. Women especially do have a hard time in this. And I'll tell you why. It's because sales historically is a male-dominated field. So all of the sales styles, the tactics, the tools, the techniques are all, you know, created by men, taught by men for men. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a women-based sales training. Like I have great guys in our training programs over the years that have done phenomenal things. But we're definitely more, as the name of the company says, we're more service-based. Men are hunters. Women are nurturers, gatherers. We're the ones who are back into the tribes, making sure that everyone's taken care of. So why in a sales equation or sales situation would we want to go out and take on this like masculine hunting energy? That's where it feels slimy, weird, and salesy and awkward. It's chase. It's hunt. It's not who we are. So we constantly and consistently and all the time remind everyone that we can talk to, and especially those within our sales school, lovingly stop being weird. But it's about service. It's about being of service to the other person and being available for them, strengthening the relationship over time, getting to know them, activating the relationship instead of following up. Like we have language shifters that we use to get people out of that sales mentality and shift them into service thinking.
Mm. What are some of the myths that you see your clients kind of coming in with when it comes to sales and conversations about money?
Oh, about money. Yeah. So, you know, money's the interesting thing, right? I mean, people think that, again, going back to like the masculine feminine side of things.
Yeah.
And the way I break it down is with the four currencies of conversation. And it's, there are four currencies in every conversation situation that we operate or exchange with. And I use the acronym TEMP, time, energy, money, and people. Time and money are hard currency, quantifiable. Energy and people are soft currency, non-quantifiable. So what I would say the myth is about money is really that, that's the thing, that's the goal, that's the aim, that's what you're working towards and for. And money is when you're chasing after money, when you're going after the money, you're in sales energy, which is all about you, which is actually operating through the lens of fear and lack and scarcity. And when you're in service energy, when you're thinking about how can I help the other person, what's in their highest and best interest, you're operating from love, from abundance, from a place of my cup runneth over. And that's where the money shows up, because money is not the thing. Money is evidence of the thing. The thing is the service.
So I want you to talk a little bit about this service piece, because I think that there's some confusion around that. So I hear a lot of people, entrepreneurs in particular, and healers, and you know, maybe some entrepreneurs who are a little bit more spiritual based, they talk about being in service. And yet there seems to be this disconnect between the money piece, right? And in listening to you talk about it, it's not so much, like I get this sense that some people are approaching the service piece with an element of sacrifice.
And well, I don't think an avoidance.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't hear that from you. So do you see that with your clients? Do you help them kind of balance those two things out?
Because oh, for sure.
Exactly what you said, you know, the money is just the evidence of great service, right? Being in service.
Yeah. I love that you use the word sacrifice, because that's, I haven't, yeah, that's for sure what I see a lot of people doing, is it's a martyrdom thing. Well, if I'm not going to sell, then I'm just going to be of service. And then they go down like the nonprofit road without actually having a nonprofit. They're just not profitable.
Right.
So it's, it doesn't have to be either or, right? There's a really healthy in between that that this is the whole premise of everything that we do here. And I didn't even realize the simplicity of what I'm about to say and the power. A client had to point this out to me. She's like, this has been the game changer, this statement, this mindset shift, everything. And it's that they're already a client. They're already a client from the time you have your first business interaction with them. They're already a client. Mm. There is no point of conversion. There is no sale. There is that none of that happens. It's they're already a client mindset, meaning that what happens is when we think that there's a point of conversion or there's like the sales part that has to happen, and all of a sudden we go from having a great conversation to now we have to get robotic and weird, is that we hold back. We shy away. We don't want to say the things that need to be said. And we bring less of ourselves into the table in the equation. When someone's a client, you're going to be like, why would you do that? Like, you'll say the things that need to be said to a client because you have their highest and best interest in mind. You're operating from a place of abundance because you already have them as a client, versus when you're in the prospecting phase, you're operating from lack and scarcity because they're not a client yet.
Oh my God, that is so simple and so brilliant. And I can, as you were talking about it, I was just thinking of something that happened to me a couple of weeks ago, where I was working with a client. I've been working with him for a couple of years now, and he had just like a few months ago signed up again for another year's worth of work. And I was offering this other thing to, you know, my community and everything, and didn't even think about offering it to him because I was like, oh, well, he just plunked down a whole bunch of money to work for, you know, like the stuff, the chatter that goes on in your head. And then as we were talking on a client session, he started bringing up this issue that he was having that my thing would be perfect for. And I was like, well, you know, I'm doing this thing, right? Like, and it was, but even in that space of like, he's already a client. Oh, he's not going to want to do more. You know, I had to have that moment of like, wait a minute, no, this is actually going to, like, this is a, the problem that he's bringing up. And this is the perfect, this is going to be the perfect fit for that problem.
Yeah. Like,
you, why wouldn't I offer that to him?
Exactly. Like, you literally had a situation where he literally already is a client. And then there's an additional thing that you can support him with. And you're like, no, I'm not going to.
Yeah. You know, like it was out there and he had seen it, but I wasn't being proactive about it until that moment of like, hello, like the universe knocking on your door, like,
yeah,
Jesus, talk about it. So yeah, like, so talk a little bit about that chatter or those fears that kind of, like, I don't know if that was necessarily, it wasn't so much a fear, I think, for me, it just was like an assumption. So what are some of those common assumptions and fears that hold people back from, you know, speaking their value in their service and really owning that?
Yeah. So it's really the one that you pointed out, that you already put it out there. He already saw it and he didn't act on it. Therefore he doesn't want it.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Right. It's, I mean, like the subconscious thing, right?
That's just, he knows what I do. So like, if he wanted more, he would ask. And, you know, I mean, it's just, a mentor of mine uses the phrasing that we have to tell them the water is wet.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have to say it early and we have to say it often.
Right.
And this is the whole thing about like follow-up. Like, people get so weirded out about follow-up because it's like stalker chase energy.
Yeah.
And if you come at it from stalker chase energy, like just circling back, just following up, just checking in on you. Hey, wanted to see how you felt about that thing that we talked about the other day. Like, yeah, that's annoying. Stop it. Like, hashtag stop being weird. But if you come at it through the lens of like, I know you're crazy, service-based, what's of highest and best value for the other person? Think through their lens. Are they just sitting around twiddling their thumbs, judging you? No, they have an entire life going on and they're crazy busy and the cat got sick and now the kids are crying and then that this happened and then the fridge broke down and the you know, and everything else is happening at once. Like, they saw it, they're interested, but now they have to go clean the bathroom or whatever. Like, right. Life is happening. So we have a service to be in service to the people in our world to say, I really think I'm surprised that you haven't acted on this yet. I really thought that you would. Oh my God. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for circling back with me. Yes, I do want to do that. I'm crazy busy. Do you know how many people I've taken their credit cards while they're driving, which is not safety first, but I take their credit card over the phone while they're driving. Cause I know you're crazy busy. Right. If I call you and you answer, we're going to talk.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's being of service too. Cause
it's being of service.
It's so true. It's like, how many times have I think about how many times I used to get all weirded. I got weird about like, oh my God, they're not, you know, they're not signing up or they're not paying their invoice. And like finally got over it when I realized I've got 50 tabs open on my computer of things that like I'm thinking about buying, but I haven't done it yet because the kids are screaming downstairs, you know, it's time to make dinner. This thing's going on. That thing's going on. I'm taking a phone call from a client. It's like, oh, hello. They're doing the same thing.
I've gotten out of the shower after shaving one leg. Like, we've got things going on.
Right.
You know, it's not personal.
It's personal.
What I call virtual cart abandonment. Like, we all know cart abandonment online.
Yeah.
And you get all excited and you buy, you know, $6 million worth of things from Amazon that you don't need. And then you find out that it's $1.50 for shipping and you're like, I don't want it. And then you walk away from everything, right? That's cart abandonment. And that's in the retail space. But this, we don't think about it as cart abandonment because it's a service, it's a conversation. There's nothing like tangible about it. So then it becomes personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all that it is shiny object syndrome, virtual card abandonment. Like, I just walked away for a minute. How many times have we gone to the grocery store, not the grocery store, but like a Target or something like that, or shoe shopping. And just cause, you know, we wanted to kind of go to the mall or go to the store and go out and shop. And then we get up to the register and it's like 20 people deep and we're like, nah, I'm good.
and just put the stuff down and walk out. I wanted the stuff. I was going to buy the stuff. If someone had come up to me with like a handheld register, been like, oh, register two is open, I would have been like, okay, I'm going to walk over to register two and buy it. But I just didn't feel like waiting in line right then and there. That's all. It's not personal. I just didn't want to wait. Something came up in my life, but we take it personally, and shame on us for doing that. Because when we're in a service-based business, you know, our tagline at Selling with Service is helping more people help more people. When you're in a service-based business, you are doing really good work in the world and you're helping more people. I'll give you an example of my bestie who is, she runs a therapeutic spa, and she literally saves somebody's life. She does skincare, facials, that sort of stuff. And she's working on a client. This was a couple months ago. She's working on a client and she felt a lump or a bump in the neck or the thyroid or something like that. Like, you know, the knee bone's connected to the ankle bone. I don't understand what she does. It's magic. So she finds like a lump or a bump and she's like, I just think you should get this checked out. And the client was like, no, it's fine. It's not a big deal, whatever. And my bestie was like, no, you go get this checked out. So she wasn't going to make the appointment, but my bestie stayed on top and just said, I really think you need to. So she's like, all right, I trust you. Fine. I'll go get it checked out. She goes to get it checked out. That's nothing. But while she's at the doctor, they're like, you know what? We haven't had an X, Y, and Z done, and you haven't had a mammogram in a while. Breast cancer.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And I have doctors. I mean, she's my bestie, but I have clients that run spas, that run health offices. And I have a responsibility to help them have healthy businesses, have healthy conversations with their prospective clients. Because the sales conversation is just a part of what we do in sales school. Like, you have to know what you're selling, how you're selling it, who you're selling it to. Like, there's the 5 points to profit that we look at as well, for sure. But I have a responsibility to these women who are running these businesses, because they have a lens, a gift, a talent to see the world differently, where they're really helping people like way better than I ever could. But I have a responsibility so that they can go out and help more people. So shame on us for letting our fear get in the way and making the conversations all about us. And this is where I'll lovingly check clients and I'll say, with all due respect, my love, your business ain't got nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Your business ain't got nothing to do with you. It is, your purpose of a business is to create a customer and a client. That's it. That's it. It has nothing to do with you. You are a vessel. You are a medium. You are a service ship. That's all you are. And the only way you can be, you can have the best ideas, but if you can't get them across, your ideas will get you nowhere. And I help these really talented people, lawyers who are helping mothers fight for their children in court, doctors who are helping patients to identify lumps and bumps and so that they can live longer and be there for their kids. Photographers who are capturing moments of mothers and daughters together, and who knows, you know, what that means to the child down the road. I mean, really, really big work, diversity and inclusion, helping, executive teams have really solid conversations, healthy conversations around really difficult, tricky issues. Like, these are some of the people that we work with in sales school. And, I have a responsibility to help them have stronger, more impactful conversations out of the gate so that they can go do that thing that they're really good at that needs to happen in this world. It's like, not that I'm passionate about this at all or have an opinion about this, but you know, I mean, I'll stop.
You don't need to stop. No, it's beautiful.
Stepping off the bandwagon.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Stay on your soapbox. It's mm-hmm. It's great, because it's just such a refreshing approach. I mean, there's a million sales coaches out there, right? Like, and there's all kinds of sales systems out there, but I just love your perspective on it, and what's so cool, I think, about the way that you approach it is that, yes, you're passionate about it and everything, but you just use like the straight up direct language. I think that's just beautiful. You know, it's not, it is sort of leaning into that more nurturer, like where that more feminine energy, what have you, if you want to call it that. But it's such a nice balance because you're like, you're not mincing words. Mm. You're being really direct. I love the stop being weird. Like, just like you call it, like you see it. And I think that it's just so refreshing because I think there's like this dichotomy of like, oh, you know, this like being really soft in selling and being really aggressive in selling, and there's nothing in between. And not to say that you're in between, you're just like, I'm putting something completely, totally different out there, and it's working. It's working because you're helping people really get in that right place mentally, and I think energetically as well, right? Like it's really, you're so passionate and grounded in it that I think it's just impossible for others in the school and your one-on-one clients to not also see that and see like how powerful that is. And it's beautiful. So,
And it's an important responsibility to get out there and just kind of shake people a little bit and say, you know, you don't have to be weird and robotic. It's not a numbers game. I hate that. Sales is not a numbers game. Like ultimately, sure, maybe it is because everything does kind of boil down to math, but you know what it is? It's relationship building.
Yeah.
It's conversation. It's connection. And do you need to have a certain number of conversations in order to connect with people? For sure. But if you approach it through the lens that it's a numbers game, you got to go out there and collect no's, like, ew.
Why do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Like you're not going to be motivated for that. Yeah.
No, vile.
Yeah.
That's why people like, even when I was naming sales school, and it's still like pilot naming, and you know, I'll play with it over the next year or two and see what it kind of, if that's what it is. But people even have an aversion to the word sales. I talked to a woman who runs an international networking organization, and we were talking about me coming on and doing some training and stuff like that for her membership base. And she's like, I have to tell you, anytime I put something out there with the word sales in it, she's like, my conversion drops. Which I feel strongly about on a few different lenses, right? One is she has a primarily woman entrepreneur-based membership base. And why aren't women owning the fact that they're salespeople? And I might go down that road in a research thing, but in the meantime, as you know, someone who has a responsibility to help these women get unstuck, I'm not going to take the time to figure out the why behind it right now. I will take the time to figure out what are the words that I need to use to resonate with them so that I can help them. We'll figure out the underneath later. But that's, I think the biggest holy shift was what we call it that clients have with me is when they start realizing that they're starting to think like a salesperson too. And that thinking like a salesperson is not thinking in terms of the next sale, the next dollar, the next whatever. It's thinking, how can I shift the conversation so I can actually get through to this person because they're not hearing me?
Yeah.
That's thinking like a salesperson.
That's exactly. And I can't remember the name of it, Liz, so forgive me, but, oh yes, I do. I remember now because you're so great with like the pithy phrases. At one point you were sending out a newsletter or an email along the lines of the phrase that pays.
The phrase that pays. Yes. Yep. And I love that you remember that. I'm thinking about bringing that back actually.
Oh my God, please do, because I've saved several of them.
And, oh, I love that.
And I've used them and I refer back to them all the time. And it's so beautiful because it's like, it's just this short email. Please bring it back.
I will. Oh, I love this. Yay. Yes, I will.
Like, I want that. I want that. It's this short, like really, really potent email that Liz would send out. And it was this phrase that pays, and it was like different scenarios of working with clients and, you know, one of the ones that I go back to on a regular basis was the one about like when you're coming towards, actually it's more like when you're like halfway through with working with a client, really starting to have that conversation with them about what's next, right? Like instead of waiting to the end and being like, okay, this is our last session or the project's over, what do you say to start that conversation and tee it up ahead of time? And I use that all the time. And
that's awesome.
It was such a game changer for me because at that time, I had really finite types of ways of working with people. And I was like, well, this sucks because now I got to go back out and chase like more people. Like I was totally in that chaser mindset.
Yep.
And that it's just a very simple question that you're asking people at a specific time. And so please bring it back because I loved it.
Yay. Oh, yes, 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 I will. There we go. That's sold and done. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just feel like a lot of it is not, it's not rocket science, right? But it's just knowing what to say and knowing when to say it and knowing how to say it to your people.
Exactly. Exactly. And I would say, you know, yes, the training that we're doing in sales school is like really helpful. You know, putting out the content and leaving the recording so everyone can go back to it. But, and this is from the students who are in sales school. So we do Teaching Tuesdays and we do Follow-Up Fridays, and Follow-Up Fridays are kind of like open. They're really like free for all Fridays, like open office hours is what one student called them. And that's really where the magic is happening, because that's where people are able to bring like their real time conversation scenarios to the table. And just get the coaching right on the spot on it. Like, oh, I'm sending out this proposal to somebody, you know, what should I say here and there? And then I just have at it. I'm relentless in making sure that they are doing it for the highest and best use of all parties involved. So, one of the first Free for All Fridays that we had, Follow-Up Fridays, actually was a scenario where someone said, you know, I'm sending out this proposal and this is what I'm thinking and I'm not sure how I'm priced, whatever. And it was for a training, and I'm not a fan of proposals, but this was already in the process and it was a multiple decision kind of a thing. So coached her around it, and she ended up, she had been looking at it as a one and done kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I pulled her back and I said, you know, this is the beginning. This is a first date. This is the beginning of your relationship. They've been a client of yours already for a year now that you've been courting them. You just haven't acknowledged that. You're the only one they're talking to. You are the expert. And you're going in as an amateur because you think you're just going to do this one little song and dance and leave. And I have a phrase that I use. This will be a phrase that pays. Love that I'm going to bring that back. Thank you, Gail. but this is one that I use all the time to remind people: the expert asks, the amateur answers.
Mm.
So I said, you're going in as an amateur because you think that you're just going to, you know, answer the problem, answer the question that they have. They need a training. You're going to go in and do a training. You're an expert. You're the only expert they're talking to. They're already your client. This is the first date. You're going to go into that training and you're going to use that as an opportunity to ask more questions, because do you really think you can solve their problem in one day? She's like, no way. I was like, exactly. So why would you do that to them? Like, with love, shame on you for making it about you. Your business has nothing to do with you. You have to stay in service to the client. Can you really solve their problem in a day? No. You have to get under the hood and go deeper. And that's going to look like a longer term engagement with the client at a higher price point, because there's more work involved. And it's the same thing we were talking about earlier with this whole service energy and the sacrifice energy with the healers and stuff like that, that they think, well, they're either paying me or they're not. And there's this really beautiful in-between where you're giving value and you're helping people. And then there literally does come a point in that relationship where you say, I in order to help you better, I have to know more. And that's going to require me getting under the hood. And we've got to look at some things. So when can we have our first play date?
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Like, that's how you can literally have a sales conversation. I just gave that to you. Like,
yeah, boom, you did.
There's your sales conversation. You're nurturing, nurturing, nurturing. You're like, read my blog. Here's this. Have you considered drinking more water? Like, try this tarot card instead of that one, or whatever your jam is, right? And then there's going to come a point where it's like, I really can't tell you. I'm going to just go down the healer road because I do the tarot stuff too. So it's like, so,
yeah,
you know, so we all do.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Of course. So it's like, you know, you're helping someone, you're doing the readings and everything else, and they call you in a panic. And you're like, can you pull my cards? And it's like, great and wonderful. And it's like, listen, you've asked me about this guy 3 times now. Like, let's really sit down. Let me ask you some questions. Let me really get under the hood to see what's going on, because I'm answering surface questions. We're not really chipping away at anything. So when can we set up this first play date? Because you're killing me, Smalls. Like, I love you, but let's solve this.
And that's selling with service.
Yes.
That's how you do it.
And that's not being weird. Like, that's just being you. You know, obviously, everybody listening, I mean, those are Liz's words. Like, that's how she communicates.
That's
totally
me.
Authentic. But it's so amazing because you want to be like, oh my God, of course, I'm being ridiculous. I'm totally like just scratching the surface here. And she just lovingly brings you in. But it's something that everybody can do in their own style, in their own voice.
Yes.
But you've got to get over that hump of like, oh, I feel weird about offering more.
I don't want to talk about the money. Yeah. The money part's weird and everything right. else. You know, here's what I call people out on. We get so weird about the money, but we have no problem being like just completely, you know, unhinged with our time.
Right. Yeah.
Completely unhinged with our time. Guess what is your non-renewable resource? Guess what you'll never have? You'll never have another noon on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is never going to happen again. And you just willy-nilly gave that away. No problem. But you have a problem asking somebody for like $1,000 for a strategy day? Like, that's weird to you to ask about money? Money's this man-made weird thing anyways. It's not even real.
Yeah, right.
It's not even real. We used to use chickens. I mean, it's not even real. We get so weird about it. Would you be weird asking me to borrow a pen and then walk off with it? Like, would you be weird asking, you know, for a piece of gum? Can I have a sticky note?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But we get so weird about money. And it's just evidence. It's just evidence. It's the money moves the mission. It's the lifeblood of our business. If you're hungry, like starving, and you see someone with food and you know them, you're not going to walk up to a stranger, right? But like, you'd be like, can I have a bite? Do you have an extra? Like, we would do that. We would gladly offer food to someone who needs it,
mm-hmm.
you know? But when it comes to money, it gets so weird. And I just draw this out to show like, it's just a thing. It's nothing to be weird about. It's what moves the mission. It's the currency that you need so that you can get out and go help more people. Because can you really be of service to someone if you're wondering if your internet's going to get shut off because you didn't pay the bill?
Right.
Are you really fully present with your client, or are you making it about you? That's all.
Yep. Brilliant. Brilliant.
A little preachy.
It's all good. Preach. So, Liz, what inspired you to do this work? I mean, obviously you love it, you're passionate about it, and you're a genius at it. But you know, what was the catalyst for you to help mommies and daddies and people make more money for themselves?
If you told me like even 10 years ago I'd be running a sales training company, I would be like, yeah, whatever, sure, dude. I grew up in fashion. I love clothes. Like, that's where I play. And I did. I grew up in fashion. I played with clothes. My first business, Finest Consignments, I was actually cleaning out closets, selling the clothes on eBay. And then when I found out I was pregnant about 8 years ago now, I decided at the time, like, I can't work for anybody else. You know, and I had grown up in corporate, and I was in sales, but it was fashion sales. So it wasn't like, I was playing with shoes and clothing all day long. It wasn't like sales. Mm-hmm. And I was doing executive search, and I was building senior leadership teams for high growth and turnaround retail companies that were backed by private equity. So there was like a huge strategic component, but that was like people sales, right? And it wasn't even sales. I was talking to people that were playing with the clothes, and then I was helping them, you know, build the businesses where we could have more clothes and shoes. Like, that was just what I did. So, I find out I'm pregnant, I'm doing this corporate retail-y thing, and, I realize I can't continue doing this. Like, there was a mom that was in the office, and she like came running into work like a crazy person, and like had Cheerios in her hair, and then like had to leave to go take the kids somewhere, and then had to come back. And I'm like, nope, not signing up for that. So this franchise type business was presented to me that was actually web design. And that was the business that I started that got me out of corporate. And as all this is happening, I'm becoming a single mom too. So there's just like a lot of moving pieces going on in the background. As I'm doing the web design stuff, I'm sitting there in my accountant's office one day and getting ready to go have lunch with this woman. And I'm like, this is like the third time I'm having lunch with her.
And I'm having great business conversations. She loves picking my brain, but she doesn't need a website. Like, she has a website. She doesn't need one. It's fine. It's working. But I'm enjoying the business conversations that we're having. But I said to my accountant, like, it's fine. I need to get more clients, but this one, whatever. He's like, well, what are you guys talking about? And we're like, oh, business stuff, et cetera. He looks at me like, he's like, Liz, you know, that's called coaching or consulting. Like, you can get paid for that. I was like, I can get paid for talking? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. No way. So I shifted into general business coach and business coach for mom. And I had this whole maximize your value and trying to figure things out, right? Doing the coachy thing as I let go of the web design business. And, super generalist, but I knew because of my background in business and what I'd been doing, in the web design space and everything, I knew that if you give me a business, I can fix it. I know that about myself. I've been playing business since I was 2 years old on top of that. My grandma would come home from work and I would say, how's business?
Oh my God, that's so strange.
Yeah, because it's a totally normal thing for a two-year-old to ask.
Right.
So I knew in my bones that I see businesses, I play business, it's what I do, but I didn't have the marketing or anything around it. And now I was selling myself and I didn't have the website to sell, and the website had hard cost, right? So I had a markup on that. It was an extension of retail. There's a hard cost involved in the actual designing of the website. And I had a team that would do the real deep coding and stuff like that. There were hard costs involved. So I would mark up from there and I could stay justified in that price. But now all of a sudden I'm selling my time and my expertise and my knowledge and who am I? And, how can I step in to sell any of this? And all of my money stuff came up and I really hit a brick wall in terms of sales. And so I actually went to this woman I met through networking who does sales training. And she's like, I've got this assessment, take it. And it's really significant assessment, crazy pants. She's been running this sales training company for 30 years. And I go through this assessment. We get on the phone afterwards to debrief it. And there's all these people on the phone, which is really weird because I thought it was just going to be me and her talking. And they're like, well, we have all these people here because we've never seen results like this. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to tell me to go be a greeter at Walmart. And what are they going to, never talk to anyone again. You're horrible. They were like, we've never seen results like this. You have 100% perfect score in closing.
What?
No one's ever scored. We've been doing this for 30 years and big business across the board. No one's ever scored 100%. So then of course they try to close me and I'm like, can't close closer. So, but I said, I was like, well, what do I do with this information? WTF, what's the function of this information? That's cute. Now I've got a gold star, but what do I do with it? She's like, I don't know what you do. So you just write it down. So now I have this, validation, this newfound confidence, and I can get people on the phone and I can have conversations, no problem. So now I'm having conversations with them and I'm like, I just need to write down what I'm asking them. And I am a closer, right? So I was renewed in that belief. And I started closing people to help them with their business coaching and, and then I started writing down what I was saying and what I was asking. And then I would type up what I was doing. And by the way, this is how you build a script. And I started writing it down and then I'd type it up in a document. And then the next conversation I have, I print out the document and then I doodle on it. And then I'd have more questions to add to it. And then I started to realize that there was a form and a flow to how I was doing it. And then one day I had a client who was really struggling in conversations and I'm like, I don't know. I kind of do this thing. And why don't you take it for a test drive? She did it. It worked. She's like, that was the easiest conversation. They thanked me at the end of it. As they're giving me the credit card, they're thanking me is what she's telling me. And I was like, interesting. Mm. Let me go guinea pig this on a few other clients. My poor clients, my guinea pigs, guinea pigged it on a few other clients. One client had, I don't know, 20 sales calls, couldn't close anybody. She tried this little script thing that I had created, which is now the Close Clients Quickly script that we teach in sales school. She tried it. And she then had 6 conversations, realized that one of those people was not going to be a right fit client. So she did not extend an invitation, extended 5 invitations and closed 4 people.
Wow.
Yeah. In 30 days after doing this one little scripty thing.
Amazing.
So it was very, that's where I'm like, if you had told me I'd be running a sales training company or teaching sales school or anything like that, I'd be like, what are you smoking? I want some of that. But instead it was just totally organic and then client led because they were like, I need that. You need to get this. And then they were like, you need to get this out there. You need to tell more people about this. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll go do that now. You say so. The one time in my life I follow instructions. I guess it worked.
Thank goodness you did. Jeez.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's how the whole thing was born. It was very, very like organic, very organic, not planned. Of course, I planned to be an entrepreneur. I planned to have my own business, but that was as much of a plan as I had.
Right. That's awesome though. I love it. So before we wrap up, is there anything that people should know that we haven't yet covered? I mean, you've given us such great value and information today, but any other words of wisdom, phrases that pay or anything else?
There's the three things that I actually have these on a note card on my desk that a client said I have to tell everyone that I talk to. So it's three things that I have to tell everyone that I talk to. One we already covered, which is you have to adopt the mindset they're already a client. And by the way, the reason why my client said I have to tell everybody this is because this took her and her business partner from zero to $250,000 in 18 months.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
She said, and it's a service-based business. They do improv. Okay. Okay. So
it works for anything.
Yeah. So, it's these three things that they use in tandem, in addition to the strategy that we put together, et cetera. But the one is they're already a client. You have to adopt that mindset early and often and just stay in the lens of service. How can you best help them? The way you protect yourself from yourself in these service conversations that you're having along the way is the second bullet point, which is the sales formula. And it's some people teach like a 50-50, 60-40 of who's talking and who's listening, but it's my formula is 80-15-5. 80% of all these conversations is the other person talking. 15% of these conversations is you asking questions. Remember, the expert asks, the amateur answers. So you're not giving it all away. You're guiding them in these service-based conversations with the 80, the 15 asking questions. Only 5% of all these conversations is you speaking. That's it. You're not giving anything away. You're giving value by getting them to see things differently. That's owning your expertise. And the third bullet point that I have to say is the next tactical piece, which is you book a meeting from a meeting. Every conversation, you book a next step. Every conversation, you calendar the next conversation. And those three things used together took them from zero to $250,000 in 18 months.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So how can someone find out more about you and Selling with Service?
So
and the school too.
Yeah. So sellingwithservice.com is the main site. And then we have salesschoolforentrepreneurs.com. And depending upon when this airs, we have the biggest problem that people have and why they're not having sales conversations is because they're not having enough conversations just in general with people. So, like I said, I can get anybody to the phone, and I've created a process and formula around this that I teach at the conversationcreationchallenge.com, which is a Facebook group. And that's where we're going to teach you how to get more people into a conversation and then adopting the three principles that I just talked to you about. And then, you know, sales school would be the next logical step so we can help you to really close those clients. But I would say conversationcreationchallenge.com, salesschoolforentrepreneurs.com, and of course, Selling with Service is the main site.
Awesome. So make sure you check that out. Liz, thank you so much for all of your insights and your fun today. It's been a blast.
Thank you. I love it. So much fun talking to you, always.
Until next time, remember, be your best story and share your positive news now.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.